In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everyone out there. Thank you for tuning in to 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. May 14, 2022. This is episode number 39. And if my voice sounds a little bit different, a little low, maybe an octave lower than normal, yeah, it's me. I've been a little under the weather for the last couple days, and I woke up, and yeah, my voice was like this. So, no, this isn't Batman taking over the radio waves here. This is Paul Metters. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, where I am live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Sierra Avenue. First String Sports is, they're my number one, man. They are my day one guys. They've been supporting the show since the beginning back in August. Every Saturday here from 10 to 12, I'm in the Letterman's Jacket Room, and this is definitely the place to be. So come on down here to First String Sports for all your sporting goods needs. One of the things that I like to do when I bring in guests, they have these chairs, right? Kind of the chairs that you sit on when you go to soccer games or, you know, youth soccer games. And they got all the schools, Clovis East. I'm looking at Kerman and Madera and Hoover and obviously Buchanan and Clovis High. I like to put those chairs right here on set, on the table here at First String Sports. And it's always fun. It's a good look. And, today we got a fun show. This is basically Selection Saturday. Why I say that is because baseball and softball brackets are going to be coming out early afternoon. They usually come out around 2 or 3 o'clock. The CIF Central Section Office is currently drawing up the brackets and making sure everything is correct and looking at the head-to-head, the tiebreakers, and, you know, the base divisions for each team can only go up one or two. So we're anticipating that around 2 or 3 o'clock. And check Twitter. You can follow me at Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, or at 1430 ESPN. And check the Twitter because I'll definitely be retweeting it. Gabe Camarillo, who produces the show, who's going to be coming on later to talk about all the good stuff that's going on in high school sports. We'll be breaking that down. We'll be making some predictions. And we might, if you guys are on Twitter, we're going to be doing a Twitter Spaces. And what that is it's just an open forum. It's a conversation that you can go on Twitter. You can follow Gabe or me and click on the link and you can listen to us break down the brackets there. So it's an exciting day. I got Clovis softball coach Mike Noel coming on around 10:18 or so. Mike has been a longtime coach. If you're a fan of Central Section sports at all, the name Mike Noel, is a very, very prevalent name in the sports community. Was a really good athlete at Clovis West, a Hall of Famer there. Played on the Fresno State baseball team, on the 88 World Series team, and the 91 World Series team. So Mike Noel's coming in. We're going to be talking about softball, predicting the brackets, talking about some of the top teams, and a lot of talk right now is about Division I only having 8 teams and all the other divisions having 16 teams. So it will be fun to get his opinion on that. So, again, after the break, Coach Mike Noel at 10:32, and I mentioned that Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be discussing lots of good stuff. Gabe will be jumping on with me, along with Clovis East baseball coach Ryan Smith, around 10:45 or so. And Ryan and I are going to be talking about his team, Clovis East, which ended up third in the track. They had a really good year for Clovis East baseball. Again, you're going against a couple of the top-ranked teams in the state, and Buchanan is currently number 2, and Clovis West, who has been as high as number 20, I believe, by Cal High Sports. So talk with Ryan about the playoffs and whether or not, he likes the top 8 division or top 8 in Division 1, and looks like they're going to be in Division 2 playoffs, which is going to be a 16-team bracket. So we're looking forward to talk to Ryan Smith. At 11:06, another hot topic is Kerman High baseball. If you guys haven't heard, Kerman High Lions are having a phenomenal baseball season. They are 28-0. We got Coach Jared Coleman coming on the show. They are most likely going to be the top seed in Division 2. They have what's called a base of Division 3, so they can only go up and down what their base is in any given year. So they're going to be going up to Division 2. However, you know, we know that Kerman is a medium-sized school. They good chance they're going to be taking on, maybe even in round two, taking on some really big schools, maybe like a Clovis High or a Central or even a Clovis North who's a track team. We'll be talking with Jared about that and his feelings, but what a season that the Lions are having. They're 28-0, like I mentioned. They are, it is the best season in regular season Central Section history. So no team has gone undefeated throughout the entire season. So Kerman has a chance to make history. And since April 1st of 2021, Kerman is 48-1. You imagine the last 49 games, you've only lost one. So looking forward to talking with Jared about their season, about Division II, the landscape of Kerman baseball, why they've been successful. And at the bottom of hour number two, around 11:32, volleyball, boys volleyball. I haven't talked about boys volleyball. We had the Clovis West girls volleyball team in after they won their Central Section championship. But we'll be talking with Coach Greg White. And he's bringing in some of his volleyball boys. They're going to be our co. We'll see how many show up. Student athletes of the week. They had a great season. Went 40 and 2. Season's not done because we have the state regional playoffs. We'll find out who they play, I think, later today as well. But they went 40-2. Won the track and won, then on Thursday defeated Buchanan in 5 games. So congrats to the Clovis West boys volleyball team. They're going to be coming in and. Here's some from some volleyball guys. A few fun things that have been going on in the Central Section. The state swim meet is happening right now at Clovis West. So we haven't had state swim meet in a few years. And, you know, obviously COVID back in 2020 canceled that meet. But, state swimming meet is a big deal. There's some national level swimmers that are swimming today. Adam Reed, who's the Clovis West swimming coach, is the director. And he texted me the other day. He says, "Yeah, this is high level competition. There are some really really fast swimmers going to be swimming in the pool." So, state swim meet happened at Clovis West right now. That's pretty cool. Track and field. So the last few days there have been the division track meets, Division 1, 2, 3, and I believe 4, in various places throughout the Central Section. Next week is the Masters meet held at Buchanan, and then the following week. Is a state track meet at Buchanan. So two state meets held in the Central Section. I don't know if you guys realize how cool that is, man. That is awesome. Clovis West, hats off to those guys for working hard, get the swim meet going. And then Buchanan State Meet is a big, huge deal. There's been obviously Olympians that have run at the state meet at Buchanan. You know, you think of Jenna Prandini and the great run that she's had at Clovis High. She ran in those and you've gone on to be an Olympian. So that is happening at the same time, however, as the baseball and softball championships, May 27th and 28th. So we're going to have to make some choices. I know the 1430 is going to be broadcasting the baseball games and maybe a softball game or two. So, yeah, it's happening at the same time at the state track meet. So I don't know, man. That's definitely a fun-filled weekend, but we're going to have to make some choices on what to go. But, yeah, the Buchanan state track and field meet is definitely a fun deal. I want to mention one thing before we hit the break. We had a no-hitter for Long Beach State at the college ranks from a Hanford grad. Jerron Watts Brown made history on Sunday, throwing the first ever complete game no-hitter and second ever no-hitter in program history. Dude struck out 16. Struck out 16, no-hitter, one shy of the all-time program record held by Jared Weaver. Remember that name? Yeah, Jared Weaver, brother of Jeff, who pitched at Fresno State, was a major leaguer also with the notably with the Angels. So yeah, congrats to Jerron Watts Brown on making history and Hanford grad for making the Valley proud. That was really fun to see on Twitter. All right, so coming up after the break, we're gonna be talking with Clovis softball coach Mike Noel about the landscape of softball, who to look out for. I know his team you know, he's got a really solid team, Clovis North. We had pitcher Ryan Maddox on the show a few weeks ago. You know, she's a tough one to beat. She might be a little banged up. Knowing more about that later. But, yeah, looking forward to talking to Coach Mike Noel coming up after the break on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here live at First String Sports. There's one thing that I wanted to mention in my opening segment that I forgot to mention, but we have Emmy Walker, softball player at Coalinga. She's recognized by Cal High Sports, and we're big fans of Cal High Sports. I love their rankings. Mark Tennis has been on the show, their editor, a few times. And, yeah, he's fantastic to talk to. And he was Emmy was named NorCal Player of the Week this past Monday. She's currently hitting over .650. Incredible season. Scored 42 runs, 17 doubles. But here's a stat that stood out to me is 66 stolen bases in 27 games. 66. That's incredible. Currently fifth in the nation, according to Max Preps. The number one girl has 86, and I looked that up just to see if that was an anomaly, what's going on with 86 stolen bases. But it was a girl in Alabama, and she's played in 59 games. And I looked at their schedule, and there were some weeks where this team in Alabama played nine games in a week. 2 days where they play three games in one day. So hats off to Emmy Walker of Coalinga for being a NorCal Player of the Week by Cal High Sports. Right now we're going to be talking more softball with Clovis head coach Mike Nowell. Cougars are having another strong season, and love talking to Coach Nowell. He does a fantastic there at Clovis. Softball program built a state and national power though. So, Mike, good morning. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be with you today.
That's a lot of stolen bases. I don't know if you heard us talk about Emmy Walker of Coalinga, but yeah, that's a lot of stolen bases, man. Stolen bases are key in softball, aren't they?
They can change a game. You know, anytime you can move a runner up a base, it's a big deal in our game. So that'd be nice to have. I've had I think our school record's about 32 by Caleb Broussard, and that seemed like a lot at the time, but not close to what they're doing right now.
Yeah, Caleb was a phenomenal player for you for 4 years, played shortstop, went to Azusa Pacific. And today is a selection Saturday for baseball and softball playoffs. We did a little prediction, and we go by Max Preps, and looks like the top four definitely solidified with Clovis North number one, you guys most likely number two, Buchanan three, and Central four. So four track teams as the top four, followed by Liberty, Centennial, Stockdale, and then maybe Hanford, Clovis East, or Buller. Does that sound about right to you?
It's close. I mean, I would have a hard time not putting Buchanan ahead of us. They beat us twice. Our strength of schedule is tougher, but you know, depending on what they go by, if it's head-to-head, you got to give it to Buchanan. So two or three, it's sort of the same thing. You get a tougher first-round opponent, obviously. But everything else, I think, is pretty clear-cut. It depends on what they're looking for. Obviously, we'd love to have another home game if we get that far. But we'd be happy. We just want to get in and see what we have.
And you've been coaching at Clovis for a long time, so like home games in the track. I know Central is obviously a different type of ballpark, but yeah, I mean, you don't mind playing at Buchanan or playing at Clovis North. You guys are very, very used to those fields, right? Do they pretty much all play the same?
They do. Buchanan's a little deeper. Obviously, Central's a lot different. They're another 25 feet further back. That's always a different experience for our girls. We sort of try to get them prepared for that. But the other ones are pretty close. They're all about 200. The dugouts all look the same. So, yeah, I think we call Buchanan our home away from home. You know, we host our tournament there. So there were times when we went to the Buchanan tournament where we'd have more games on field two at Buchanan than we did at home. So I don't think that where we play the games is going to matter much.
Yeah, I agree. I can definitely see that talking with Clovis softball coach Mike Nowell. Yeah, you mentioned, the two games to Buchanan, and, there's been a lot of talk about Clovis North because they were deservedly so. They're ranked as high as number three in the nation, number one in the state for a long time, and they lost those two games. Come playoff time, what does your coaching staff preach to your players about the difference between regular season and playoffs? Is there a difference? Are you coaching different? Are you saying different things to the players, or what does that look like?
The only difference is that I always use the term the haze in the barn, where there's not a whole lot more we're going to teach them. We faced most of these teams before, so we don't have to do a lot of that. if anything, we're lighter with them. And, you know, we coach them pretty hard throughout the season and expect a lot. And now it's just about them freeing up and playing the game hard. We always say the team that can make a playoff game more normal is the team that usually is going to come out on top. Because there is that added pressure. It's a, you know, a one-and-done type of thing. So if you can play it like a normal game in your mentality, because that's how you've played the whole year, it tends to help you out.
And we talk a lot about baseball and pitching matchups, and the track in baseball plays three games a week. So you have to have a lot of arms during league in track, and then come playoff time, you also need a lot of arms, especially in divisions 2 through 6. I'm talking about baseball, where you're going to have to win two games in a week. But in softball, it's a different animal, right? You could ride your pitcher throughout the playoffs. How do you prepare for that, Coach Noel? How do you prepare for being facing the top level pitcher, no matter what softball playoff game you're playing, and whether it's the first round, second round, you know you're going to get the team's best.
Right. Well, you know, when you're facing somebody that's real dominant, which we've done a lot of that this year, and there's a lot of that in the track, you know, we try to let our girls see that as many of those types of pitches they're going to see in practice over and over. You know, we always try to take away something that they're good at. If it's a rise ball, we try to stay off a rise ball. If they're good in and out, we try to take one of those away by how we set up in the batter's box. It's really a lot of mentality. You just got to get short and try to get the ball in play. We always think about making somebody else beat us besides that dominant pitcher. You know, get the ball in play and let their fielders have to make plays. Get somebody on and put the bunt down and have them make plays. I think that's really what it's about. A dominant pitcher is going to be a dominant pitcher. What you have to do is try to get other people involved, but it makes things tough for the entire team. I think that's sort of the key when you're facing those really good ones.
Yeah, and then we've seen a lot of good ones throughout the years. I've really enjoyed watching teams. And Danielle Long, she had that great run, that great 4-year run for you guys, and won some section championships. But you and I have had some really good conversations over the years, Mike, about the differences between softball and baseball. And I love high-level softball and dominating pitchers. And it seems to me like the little things really come into play in a softball game, getting a butt down, being in the right position, making a throw. You can say that in all sports, right? But it just seems like softball, more, you know, one little difference in a game can make, you know, a championship team, you know, a championship caliber team win or lose. So what's the best way for you to describe high-level softball at the high school level?
Well, I think you said it. It's just that every play matters so much. In other sports, you know, a miscue here and there, and it goes by as just, you know, they're on to the next play. In our sport, it matters so much. Whether it's an error or a walk, those things seem to hurt you more in our game. It's what makes coaching the sport great and hard, because – everything matters so much, and you got to really make sure your girls understand that, where they don't have time to take a play off. They don't have time to be thinking about other stuff. It's got to be that play is the biggest thing in their life that moment, and because it just matters so much. We have people every year that come to one of our softball games, and they leave thinking, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen, because of not only the intensity and how every play matters, but, you know, watching the girls react with each other, and in the dugout, they're all into it. And it's just a great sport. But I think that's what makes it so great, is that there doesn't seem to be any boring parts of the game. And, you know, I'm just like you. I'm a baseball guy. I love the pageantry of the game. But it's hard to sit down on your couch and watch 9 innings of baseball. But I can watch 3 games of softball in a Saturday afternoon, and it feels like a great time. I just think that's the key to our game. It's just how everything matters so much.
And the game is – you're right, Coach. And the game is super, super fast. There's – you know, there's a ground ball to shortstop. You better pick that thing up and throw it first because the base paths are shorter and everything. Yeah, everything is just faster and quicker. I want to ask you too, Mike, just your opinion on, you know, there's a lot of talk about Division One, and in you know, in football too, a lot of issues with what that looked like, and then teams trickling down that would normally be a powerhouse trickling down on the other divisions and playing medium or small schools that are having a really good year. But do you like eight teams in Division One and then the other brackets? I'm talking about softball or overall. I don't. It doesn't matter to me. But like, do you like the eight top in Division One and then the other ones filling out to 16 or so?
You know, I think I understand why they do eight, but I like 16. You know, I've been – we had 2 years in a row where we were the eighth seed 1 year and the ninth seed 1 year, and we beat the number one seed. And those create great memories for people. And, you know, I think that's what, again, our sport is about. And as a coach, I like just more games. know, when you have 16, it's just some more opportunities for – to get your team out there and let them get better. But I understand the eight, but if I had a choice, I would certainly do 16.
And do you like the games at Fresno State? They're going to be at Margie Wright Diamond again, but do you like the games at a neutral site like that, or do you like the championship games played at the home site? Do you have a preference?
Well, for my players, especially the ones that have never been there, I think it's a great experience for them to be at Fresno State. And, you know, a lot of them grew up going to those games and watching those players on that field. And I think that's a wonderful experience. We had a home game in 2015 against Central that was maybe the greatest game I've ever been a part of. And we were having some construction done by our field, and that place was packed. There were people hanging over the outfield fence, and it was just that atmosphere was just really, really rocking. So as a coach, I like kind of the top seed school hosting, but for my girls, I understand the Fresno State part of it. It's also not the greatest venue when there's a game going on before you, because there's not a lot of warm-up space. In fact, we go down to a park down on Cedar and do all our stretching and our throwing and our hitting, and then come over and kind of get ready for the game mentally on the sidelines, because there's not a lot of room. All they have out there is the berm area, and so there's not a lot of room to do any work. So that part's not great, but the chance for our girls to be on that field is a pretty special moment.
Yeah, I agree. There's always talk what works better, what doesn't. So yeah, head Clovis softball coach Mike Noel. Yeah, we talk about Rawhide Stadium and some of the issues that came across the last few years when we had their section championships there, where you weren't able to go on the field and they rushed you off the field after the game and got ready for the next game. So there are always those issues. Okay, last question, Coach. Thanks again for taking the time. This has been a lot of fun, but you referenced it a little bit, and you've coached in a lot of softball games, and you have played in some high-level games yourself, but is there one game, coaching or playing-wise, that is the greatest game that you've ever been a part of? What is it?
Well, that's very hard. You know, it depends what you describe as greatest. You know, we had three consecutive games against Board that were 20, 21, and 24 innings. I don't know how great that was for everybody watching, because we were there a long time. But those were some great events. I think really the one that sticks out, I had two, and they were both involving Central. It was the Valley Championship in 2015 and 2017. 15 was the one I said was at our place, and we hadn't won a Valley title since 2007. And we had a group of girls that was at Caleb Broussard's team. Danielle Lung was a freshman. A lot of great seniors on that team. And it just sort of started our trajectory back to where we were in the Valley Finals and had chances to win. And that freshman group won three after that. So I think that one sort of got us back on track to, you know, establishing we were back into winning championships or giving ourselves a chance. And then the other one would probably be the Central final in 2017. That playoff, we had to beat Bullard in the semis, who had beat us earlier in the year. We had to beat Stockdale at Stockdale. They were the number one seed. And then we had to beat Central, who beat us twice in track. So it was a come-from-behind win. We scored, I think, one in the sixth and one in the seventh to beat them 2-1. So those ones really stick out, but that's just sort of on the top of my mind. I could probably find 10 others that were really great in terms of the amount of Division I players that were on the field. And some of those we lost. We faced some some Foothill teams from Santa Ana that had the whole starting outfield started at Arizona. They had two Olympians on the team. I mean, they were just an amazing ball club. And those were really good matchups. We had Jamie Southern on the mound, and they were back and forth. But the two that stick out are probably those two I mentioned, but there's plenty of them.
Yeah, probably really hard for you to whittle that down and think of two off the top of your head. But, yeah, Coach Mike Noel, softball, Clovis softball, just I respect you greatly. You're always fun to talk to. You're a wealth of knowledge. And, yeah, I really appreciate you coming on the show and talking about softball.
Well, I appreciate you having me. And anytime, I love the show. I love what you do for Valley High School Athletics. And just keep it up.
All right, thanks, my friend. Good luck the rest of the way. You going to be hitting refresh on that computer, or are you going to be like, yeah, time to check it out and see if the brackets came out?
Well, I'm trying to be patient. They said like 3 or 4, but I'll probably start around noon hitting the refresh button. We'll see.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Coming up after the break, talking with Gabe Camarillo, who's producing the show about the landscape of playoffs. Really good stuff there by Coach Noel. Talking with Ryan Smith for Clovis East Baseball as well, coming up on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Matters. Yeah, whenever I hear that song, hear that clap, you think of baseball. Love it. Put me in, Coach. Yeah, Gabe, thanks for coming on the show and producing. You do an awesome job, and Gabe Camarillo is coming on right now, and you can follow Gabe at Gabe Camarillo. He does a phenomenal job keeping everybody on track for what's going on out there in the Central section. He does a great job breaking down potential matchups and scores and all that fun stuff. So Mr. Gabe, we need a four-hour show, first of all. But, yeah, let's talk about what your predictions are for Division I baseball. Who you got as your top eight, what that looks like, man. Let's just get into it. What do you got?
Yeah, so the last time they updated the Max Preps rankings was the morning of Thursday, May 12th. So that morning I did put out on Twitter the projections based off those rankings before the Thursday and Friday games, and there were a couple results we could dive into that maybe might change this. But right as of Thursday, it was Buchanan number one versus number eight Frontier. Number two, Stockdale versus number seven, San Joaquin Memorial. Number three, Bullard versus number six, Liberty of Bakersfield. And number four, Clovis West against number five, Rigetti. Now, that might change because Rigetti lost again a Paso Robles last night. So Rigetti has lost four of their last six games to end the season. They're still Mountain League champions, but maybe they might fall to the 6-7-8 range, moving maybe Liberty up to the number four seed and play Clovis West. And if that happens, you might see Liberty host that game because they hold the head-to-head. So a lot might come into play here because Rigetti lost to Paso Robles last night. And also another change I want to mention, Clovis East won last night and Clovis lost, which means Clovis East finished third in the track. And they have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Clovis. So Clovis East, expect them to be a higher seed than the Clovis Cougars, which is crazy because I'm going to have Ryan Smith on in a couple minutes, but Clovis East baseball, everyone has slept on them for the last couple seasons because you had obviously the track powers like Buchanan and Clovis High, and Clovis West has had a really strong teams the last couple of seasons, but Clovis East has always been kind of slept on and forgotten about in the track. They've always been viewed as the doormat. Well, hey guys, that doormat you guys were talking about is now third place in the track in a very, very good conference, I should add.
Yeah, they're playing really, really strong right now. Looking forward to hearing from Ryan Smith in a couple minutes here. And I hit on a little bit with Coach Noel. Softball's different, obviously, because you could just ride your pitcher, in every game in the playoffs. But baseball's different. Division I baseball playoffs are going to start Thursday. So one game next week and then two games the following week. All the other divisions are going to be a Tuesday, Friday, right, Gabe? Tuesday, Friday for playoffs for Divisions 2 through 6?
Yes, I believe so, and that means two games a week. And for Division 2, like Clovis East and Clovis, those teams are expected to be in Division 2. But for those teams, right, you're going to have a pitching plan. For Division 1 teams, you're kind of set, right? Just take Buchanan, for example. Sam Tocoyan, as far as we've heard, is hurt. But that doesn't really matter because you can throw an Austin Watson on the Thursday game, a Jaden Mando on the Tuesday game, and then an Austin Watson in the championship game if the Buchanan Bears win all the first two. So it's kind of easier for Division I teams now that it's 18 format to determine pitching. I know Clovis West has three studs that they can start. Stockdale has two studs, Featherston and Austin Charles. Bullard has the 1-2 combo of Schneider and Ibarra. So, I mean, all these Division I teams kind of have a two-pitcher rotation that they can lean on. But for these Division II and below teams, they're going to have to figure it out. And the first team that comes to my mind is, what's Kermit going to do? They have Devin Daniel, who I believe can shut down a Division I lineup. But after Devin Daniel, who are they going to throw? And are they going to be able to match up with the level of talent that's going to be risen in D2?
Yeah, you're right. It's a little bit easier for the Division I coaches right now to plan their pitching. Back in the old days, you got to decide, well, do I throw my ace in the opening game on a Tuesday and go with my number two later in the week? And then, you know, does that set you up? Because one of the worst things that can happen in playoffs is that your number one pitcher never pitches in the playoffs, right? I've seen that happen. You know, you go with your number two in a game that you think you could get by with and save them, and then that doesn't work out really well. You never don't want your number one to be on the bench and never pitch in the playoffs. So, yeah, so for Division One, a little bit easy to manage your team. You could even do something like throw your guy for five innings and throw your number two for a couple innings if you got a lead and save him and save that pitch count, get that pitch count down. And, you know, we're going to be talking with Ryan Smith, Clovis East head coach. Ryan, are you on the line?
He's not on the line yet, but he will be in a couple of minutes.
All right. Sounds good. Gabe, what are you hearing about some other coaches, about these perennial D1 teams that might go down, bumped down to Division II? You know, you're playing a school that has over 2,000 kids, and maybe you're sitting at about 1,000. What are you hearing anything from coaches about that?
You know, it's kind of a mixed bag. I did talk to Coach Coleman, as you will, in a couple minutes, and it kind of felt like with Coleman and a lot of these D2 coaches, they're just going to play the teams in front of them. I mean, obviously, that's their go-to answer. It's kind of like a robotic answer. We'll just play who's on the schedule. But, I mean, I don't know how I would feel if I was the coach for a team that was really good against D3 competition, and then I looked at my playoff bracket, and my first-round matchup was Clovis North, who I think might be a low seed in D2 based off of how they've done this season. And that might not be fair to a high D2 seed like, for instance, a Reedley who has to face a Central. Or maybe you have Bakersfield Christian in D2 this year have to face Clovis North in the first round. That doesn't seem as fair to me as it should be. Now, I think I have more of a problem with D1 falling down than I do with D2 or D3 playing up. I think it's fair for Kerman to have D2 because they're a D2 team this year. But under the old format, you would have had Kerman stuck in the D1 base for two seasons because that's how they did it, right? They had two-year sweeps where it was a point system based off of how you did in playoffs. If you won a Central Section Championship, you got this many points, so on and so forth. So if Kerman won a D3 championship under the old format, well, hey, they would have been pushed up to D1 because of them winning 28 games in a row. And that's not fair because Devin Daniel's going to graduate. A lot of the seniors who make that team so great are going to graduate. And next year's team is not going to be as good as this year's team, but they're going to be treated as this year's team. And they're going to be in D1, and they'll be, you know, a low seed in D1, even though they're not really up in that caliber. I like this format for that reason, but I don't like this format for the fact that you have a Clovis North or a Central or a Clovis East or a Clovis. I mean, four track schools are going to be in Division II. That, to me, sounds like this shouldn't be the case.
Another example is Fresno High, who is going to have over 20 wins entering the playoffs. They only have four losses. I think they're down to 11 players. And you know, Jason Pappy has been on the show. He does a phenomenal job with the Fresno Easter Classic. I mean, they're having a really good year. They are overachieving, and they might not get a home game in Division II, right? So you're going to have – the elite champion with over 20 wins that might not have a home game in Division II. A couple other notes here that I want to mention. Kingsburg is projected to be the number one seed in Division III. They got a really good pitcher in Ethan Winslow. We watched Ethan pitch against Central Valley Christian. Gabe and I were on the call for that game in Visalia. And, yeah, Ethan's a really good pitcher. So Kingsburg is looking as the number one seed in Division I. Division IV, Gabe saw them yesterday play Kerman. Liberty Madera had a really good game. Liberty's got a really good team. So they are projected to be the number one seed in Division IV. I think we got Coach Ryan Smith on the line. Ryan, what's happening? Coach Smith, can you hear me?
I got you.
Yay, all right, yeah. Either you're at a soccer game or you got some kids running around in your house. I love it. That's awesome.
My girls are actually in the pool, if you can believe that. They're crazy.
It's, 10:47 in the morning? It's supposed to be like 92, but they're getting a jump in the pool early.
Oh, dude, they're crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
They're nuts.
That's cool. All right, we've talked a lot on the show about the divisions and placement and what's fair and what's not fair, but I want to focus on your team. You're having a really good season. A lot of people are impressed by what you've done this year. Obviously, Buchanan is a highly ranked state team, they're a really good ball club, and Clovis West. You guys hung tough with those guys, and you ended up 7-8 in track. You took 2 out of 3 from Clovis and Clovis North, and you just swept Central. But are you surprised by this year's team? I mean, did you know you're going to have a bunch of grinders? I know you got some freshmen that you're playing as well, but has this team overachieved, or are you just super happy with what these guys have produced this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's not me, man. It's what we're building, our coaching staff and our players. I mean, if you came in our dugout early on, I mean, easily guys could have been down and kind of given up and been like, poor me, poor us. I mean, they just never did. They stuck together. They love each other. It started in the weight room this summer. We did some really difficult workouts just to, kind of push them through those difficult things. And I think our mantra has just been stay after it, stay after it. Like, it's going to click, it's going to click. And, it's finally starting to click a little bit. I mean, playing Buchanan and West is tough. I mean, they got some good arms over there and some really good hitters. And, the margin for error against those teams is smaller. And, I'm proud of what these guys have put together. What I'm most proud of is they didn't give in when they easily could have. I mean, they just kept grinding, kept playing for each other, and it was humbling, and I'm grateful to have been a part of it this year. It was really fun to be in that dugout.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fun to see the fruits of your labor and just keep grinding it out. You guys have a couple pretty good wins, man. You got that 5-3 win over Frontier, which looks like they might be the 8 seed in Division I. You got that 1-0 shutout over Bullard. What do those two wins tell everybody about your team? That you can compete with anybody, right?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of gets back to the seedings and the rankings, right? I mean, we have Jacob Crane, who's an absolute stud on the mound. So, he had a really good game against Bullard. And, Frontier was a really good team win. We had a couple pitchers kind of put some really – had a two really good pitchers have games that day. And it's just, I mean, it's high school baseball, man. You get the right guy on the mound, and anybody can beat anybody. I mean, unfortunately for Central, we didn't get to see Spolero. I mean, it's really difficult to sweep Central with Spolero on the mound. I mean, that guy's an absolute monster. So he's down, and it changes the whole series for them and for us. I mean, that's why I think 16 teams in D1 is exciting to watch, right? I mean, you get a team that can get hot or can beat anybody, and I really believe anybody in our league and our surrounding areas. I mean, anybody can beat anybody at any time. I mean, it's such a dogfight, which is, I mean, we're 7-8. We finished third in league. I mean, who does that? Who finishes below 500? Finishes third in league. I mean, it's a testament to the teams around here, the coaches around here, and the players around not Clovis, just our Valley. I mean, you look at Fresno High, they're 25 and something. Kerman's 28-0. And I mean, those teams easily could probably compete in Division I. I mean, it's crazy, man. It's a lot of fun to be a part of it.
Yeah, where do you predict you're going to be seated? Do you follow that stuff pretty closely? You're like, hey, I think we're going to land here, or do you have a prediction where you might be seated in Division II?
Yeah, I mean, trying to guess what the CIF is going to do is kind of like reading hieroglyphics, man. Who knows, right? I mean, is it all based on wins? Is it strength of schedule? I try not to let that drive what we do a whole lot. Obviously, you got to pay attention. I think the way we finished, as much as I'm a Dodger fan, so as much as this pains me to say, I kind of like that we're like the Giants of the even years, right? Kind of hover around 500 and get hot at the right time. So, I don't know. I'm probably a top six team in D2 right now is what I'm guessing. You know, it'd be nice to host a playoff game. And I think for our program or for this group of players that have 14 seniors, I think it'd be really nice for them to get the first playoff win in, I think, 10 or 12 years for this program. I think that would be a really cool stamp on this program for them, for their legacy, to kind of be that group that really turned this thing in the right direction.
Now I like you even more. You said you're a Dodger fan. You admit that on the Giants flagship station, which is cool. Yeah, yep. I mentioned that every once in a while, and I'm like, oh, man, is lightning going to strike me? But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Dodger fan. So, what, you know, and talking to the other coaches, you know, what's kind of the general consensus about that? I don't want to hammer that too much during, you know, on the radio waves, but
right.
Yeah, the 8 teams compared to the 16. I mean, just as a coach though, now you got to prepare for 2 games in a week, right? And you're used to 3
right.
games in the track. So how does that change a coach's mentality about their pitching rotation?
I mean, honestly, I think going to 3 games a week in league has been fun. It's been an absolute bandsaw, and I think it bodes well for 2 games a week, right? I mean, we had a guy go down with a little shoulder deal. Hopefully he can come back, and Cruz Cabral, who throw really well for us, hopefully he can come back. But we've had other guys step up, and we have 3 or 4 bona fide starters, so I wouldn't mind starting a game for us. So I feel, you know, really confident rolling in on the mound. For us, 2 games a week, I mean, we've got 5 or 6 guys who I wholeheartedly trust on the mound to get us through, you know, 14 innings, which is a lot different than 21, right? So it can also be the kiss of death. I mean, you have so many guys. How big of a leash? Is it a short leash? Is it a long leash? You know, those are the fun decisions as a coaching staff. You know, hopefully you win so you feel like you make the right call. But, I mean, we pour over those decisions after every game. Do we make the right decision? You know, when is this guy at his best? And you try to play matchups or, you know, whatever else. It makes it fun when you have options, and our group has done a really good job of preparing since the fall of making sure they were ready. I mean, I have guys that have not thrown an inning all year, and they still throw a flat ground in a bullpen weekly, just in case. It's just the kind of club that we have, and our kids have done a great job with that this year.
Talk with Ryan Smith, Clovis East baseball coach. You mentioned a couple of your guys, but, yeah, who are some other dudes on your team that have really stepped up that you want to mention?
So Jacob Crane, you know, returning last year, he was one of the guys that returned that we kind of expected to have a big year. He's had a really good year. I mean, I don't think there's anybody better in the Valley with 2 strikes in the box. Javen Rodriguez had an appendix burst over the summer. We weren't sure if he was going to come back, what his deal was. He's played an absolute solid shortstop. And over the last 3 weeks, I think he's hitting like 500 or something. It's ridiculous. Just really has caught fire. And we've had a couple freshmen come up, Ty Miller and Brennan Johnson, about a third of the way through the year, looking for a little spark, and they've been able to provide that for us. Brennan at one point was hitting 400 in league. Ty's hitting 350 on the year, just getting himself on base. Dax Bolton hasn't had a great year average-wise, but I think he's leading our team in stolen bases and on-base percentage. Bradley Gage has been a real surprise behind the plate, sophomore. We made kind of a decision late. Hey, you're going to catch for us and probably not going to hit a lot, but you need to catch for us. You're our best option. His first game was against Liberty, who beat us in the playoffs 21-something last year. And he went in fearless, and he's gotten better each game. And I don't think we have the year we have without Bradley behind the plate, which is hard to do. It's hard to come up as a sophomore and catch and not hit and sometimes hit. But he just grinds, man. He's a confident kid. He's getting better each game. And Jordan Zepeda has kind of surprised everybody on the mound. Little guy that just throws his strikes and flips his slider and knows exactly who he is. And I could go on and on. I mean, every single guy has done something, you know, to help us. We really don't have, you know, a big, huge, you know, one big player. It's a collective thing, man. It's been really, really fun. And like I said, humbling. I'm grateful to have been a part of it this year. It's been really, really fun to be in that dugout.
Well, you've definitely been fun to follow on Twitter as far as your games. And, you know, I know Gabe Camarillo has been in your games and posted some stuff on you guys. And you got that game-winning you got a walk-off, right, against Central. Was that Wednesday?
Yeah, we walked Central off on Wednesday. Kind of a tough deal for them, man. I mean, they had their outfield playing in and take away a base hit on our 9-hitter Javen. And Mikey Klein was, you know, I mean, that guy's good. And we had the bases loaded, 2 outs, and tough at bat from Alex Rigetti to pit the AB before, you know, had a chance, just missed one. then Javen hits the ball pretty deep to center, and the center fielder has a beat on it. I think he overran it a little bit, kind of handcuffed himself, and the ball fell. If that guy doesn't drop that, we're probably still playing. I mean, that game was going back and forth. That was a really fun high school game to be a part of.
And last question. We got about a minute here with Coach Smith from Clovis East Baseball. All right, so you played at Buchanan. What year did you graduate? Mm-hmm. You played in the late 2000s?
Mid-2000s. When I graduated, yeah.
All right, so was it weird when you got the head job at Clovis East? And I think you might know where this is going with, right? You put on that Clovis East uniform and you're taking on Buchanan. What, talk about that. Talk about that feeling.
You know, man, it was fun. It was fun. I mean, I'm coaching against Coach Donald and Coach Sylvia and Coach Gross, and I mean, I knew half of the kids on the team, so I coached them as freshmen. So it was different. I mean, but it was also kind of fun to, you know, hey, you know, that's where I grew up. That's where I learned, you know, how to become a baseball player and a man, and you know, all the things that program gave to me, I wanted to be able to bring over to East. And you get to see how do we match up, you know, where are we at and how are we doing? And the first time I beat Coach Donald, that was the weirdest feeling, was to shake his hand as a varsity coach after a win. And for him to go, hey, Big Smitty, you know, nice job. And because he still calls me, he called me in high school. That part was really cool. It kind of felt like, man, like, this is what I've always wanted. I've kind of arrived. I beat the place where I've, you know, where I went to school, and you know, that meant a little something to me. And yeah, it's just nice every year to lock horns with those guys, and you know, hopefully get play them competitively, and hopefully get a couple wins each year is nice.
Yeah, fantastic, good stuff. All right, thanks, Coach Smith. I really appreciate you coming on. Good luck the rest of the way. Yeah, is there any chance that Dad's gonna, you know, show off and do a backflip right now at 10:58 in the morning? Gonna show the girls what's up in that pool?
10:58. I'm in my trunks. I'm hitting the slide. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Coach. I mean, 10 years ago, I could do a backflip, but I'm going to give them the best.
All right. Sounds good. Really appreciate you coming on the show and talking about your program.
Hey, I appreciate you having us. Thanks for all you do for Valley Sports.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. All right, coming up after break, talking more baseball, man. This is a fun show. Kerman, Coach Jared Coleman coming up on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. It's definitely the place to be. One of the things that I love about doing this gig, 10 to 12 every Saturday here at First String Sports, is you got coaches that come in and out. Like, coaches coming in and out, and they're buying stuff, and they're talking to Phil Luna and the guys that work here, and you know, they're getting their equipment, or getting a bucket of baseball or something like that, and you know, wave to them and say, "Wait, when do you come on the show? I don't know. Let's go right now." So, anyway, yeah, thank you to First String Sports. They are awesome. They've been great sponsors along the way. Really appreciate them. And we had a great conversation for the last hour. Talked with Coach Mike Noel, Clovis High. Coached Smith at Clovis East, a baseball coach. He's doing a phenomenal job over there. And now we're bringing in Jared Coleman, Kerman High baseball coach, having a legendary year. I mean, just a legacy year, 28-0. You know, we talked a little bit off air about last year, the loss to Ridgeview in the D3 playoffs, and the motivation behind, you know, to come back strong this year. But, I mean, when did you realize this was going to be a special year?
You know, we knew last year we were going to be good after the season. Losing that one-run loss on our home field was crushing. I can still see, you know, pictures of Ridgeview celebrating on our field with Lion Country in the background. And it's one of those things that I think really motivated the kids this year. But at the beginning of the year, we had a couple scrimmages, and they were going really well, and we were hitting the ball really, really well. And that was one of the questions going into this year was, how were some of the younger guys we were playing going to mature into the season? Were they going to step up? Were they going to change approaches and things like that? And at the beginning of the year, right away, we knew we had a team on our hands that was going to be tough for anybody to handle. And we knew we were going to have the pitching. We returned our guys, and we lost one guy who was a reliever, and everybody else was coming back. So we knew on the mound, everybody on the mound was going to give us a chance to win. So.
And pitching is huge, obviously, in high school baseball. But yeah, you know, Devin Daniel is talked a lot about him. He was a great kid. He came on the show as our athlete of the week, and when you called in and had some great things to say about him. And what when you got a true number one ace where you know he is a gamer, talk also about his competitive level as
yes.
well, where he is an absolute gamer. What does that do for the mentality of your team when you trot out that number one?
You know, when he goes on the mound, everybody just knows. I mean, they may not even get a chance to get a ball in the game. You know, there's been a couple games where he's pitched, 15, 16 strikeout games, and you only have to make so many plays.
Yeah.
But they're ready to go for him. And, you know, there's been a couple games where we were a little bit lackadaisical with him on the mound. But for the most part, we have the ultimate confidence on the mound when he's on the mound. I mean, we know he's going to throw strikes, and we know when he throws strikes or even misses a pitch, he's so good, he can get away with it at times. And we just have such a good defense behind us that when he's on the mound, we know, honestly, we can beat or compete with anybody in the Valley. So it's just who he is, and it's who we feel like when he's on there. So, I mean, the last game we just played, we went a little bit longer than we wanted to. Liberty gave us all we can handle. But his pitch count was so low, it was one of those things. He had 45 pitches in 4 innings, and it was like, gosh dang, like, of course we're going to stay with him. But it's part of the reason we moved that game so we can have options going into the next week.
And 28 wins is a lot. And, you know, we talk a lot about how – and baseball is different than basketball. You think about the big three, right? Football, baseball, and then basketball, where – basketball, football, there's a lot of plays, right? Usually the best team wins. There's not a lot of upsets, because you got 5 against 5 in basketball. You got, 11 against 11 in football. But baseball, you could have 8 position players that are better than the other team's 8 position players. But if they got a number one that shuts you down, it's a different ball game, mm-hmm. right? But to go 28-0 during the regular season, 15-0 in the league, I mean, what does that say? You guys are doing all the little things. Maybe you got to have a break or two that has gone your way as well. Maybe a bloop hit that fell, or maybe an error, or maybe you guys turned a double play that's the surprise. Right?
We've had some very uncharacteristic double plays this year, and things that have led to momentum. One game I have to say it was Sanger. Joey Rodriguez was throwing a fantastic game against us. You know, he's bringing it. I think he had a no hitter going into the fifth, and we were up 1-0. You know, we got a guy on base. He stole second. He got to third on a ball that was in the dirt, I believe. Or I think they tried to do a pick, and he got over, and we got him in. And we've got some guys that can cause some havoc on the bases. And it was one of those games. I mean, my sophomore had a perfect game through 4 in that game. You know, it was just one of those games. It was fantastic. St. Joseph's, they played us tough, you know, not knowing much about them coming into the game and walking up and seeing some of the guys. And we got some baseball guys on the other side. And I know their coach over there does a fantastic job. We talk all the time. He actually is really good friends with the guy that I coach with in Kerman for the Little League teams. And so he's a good guy, and he's doing a great thing over there at St. Joseph's, and they're starting to win some games. So I think they're going to be in D3. I was telling him, I was like, I don't want to see you guys. If we open it up, you know, they took us to 8 innings.
Okay.
And that same sophomore, Adam Delgado, got a walk-off base hit in that game as well. So he's having a stellar year.
Yeah, you got some young guys that you've thrown into the fire as well. How many you got any potential 4-year guys? So you have some players to play to freshmen?
We have Aiden Olivares right now that has been starting us for us all year. I think he finished the year hitting .410. He's done a fantastic job. You know, we knew we were going to need another bat, and he has been Mr. Consistent. You know, he's just done a fantastic job for us, and I think he's even surprised himself a little bit this year. we've got some sophomores that were on varsity last year. Gilbert Acosta is going to be a 4-year guy for us. He's our catcher. He currently finished the year leading the league in average, .489. He had a .600 on base percentage. I mean, just crazy numbers, especially for a catcher.
Yeah.
You know, and he's caught every game for us. So it's tough to do, and he's just a pure hitter. We've got a 4-year guy in Dominic Puentes, who's a junior now, and he's an absolutely fantastic shortstop. And his hitting has come around right now, and he's doing really, really well. Sophomore Kevin Chavez, he's a center fielder, second baseman, pitcher. I could pretty much throw him wherever I wanted. He's playing really, really well again right now. He had a couple weeks off. He had fractured his finger. He took a ball off the finger, turned a double play, but he's back and he's super fast. Not a big kid, but you know what you're gonna get. He may be 5'6", 5'7", maybe 110 pounds.
Okay.
But I can tell you right now, he is one of the most fearless guys on our team.
Yeah.
So we know what we're getting with him, and then we've got sophomore Adam Delgado, which had the three RBI game against Liberty in the defining hit.
Was that a base loaded double, triple?
Triple, yeah. Over the right fielder's head. And he leads the team with 35 RBIs. He leads the league by 8 RBIs. And I honestly think he might have just sealed up a league MVP as a sophomore. And I mean, he's 3-0 on the mound in league, and he only made one error on defense. Wow. He plays a fantastic second base. So
he's a dude.
Yes, he is.
Talking with Jared Coleman, head baseball coach at Kerman High. All right, yeah, and listening to you describe these guys, every team, every really good team has a certain personality, right? You got maybe you got some couple guys that keep the team loose. You got your intense guys. You know, you got your speedsters. You got your disruptors. You got your defensive guys. So what is the personality of this team?
So this, honestly, I have to say, I told the kids at one point, because they're rowdy, you know, but they're respectful. You know, we never normally get on the other side of it. I looked at them one game. I said, gosh, you guys might be the most annoying team, but I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they love to have a fun time. They joke about how they've got the best dugout in the nation. and they really do. They have a good time over there. The other day we were playing, and, you know, there's our guy that's doing the game does a little thing in between the innings, and it does the claps at the end. The whole dugout does the two claps at the end. You know, they're just in the game. They're loving it. They're fun. They support each other. You know, Jacob Rocha, he's a senior, and he's a fantastic guy. Ashton Shalabian, they all talk about how they're the best dugout in the nation, and honestly, they have a good time. Chase Lee is another senior that's had a good year for us and stepped up and done a good job. This is a little example of who they are. At the dinner we had about 230 people this year. It was a fantastic event. And I go to announce him, and he comes up and just – he puts his arm on my shoulder, and I just start laughing because that's just who he is.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a bunch of guys that are loose, free loose guys, but they know when to focus and get it done when the time is right.
Yeah, right. There's always that balance that you have as a coach with a very talented team. You know, you got to let the kids have their personality, right? You can't just be so hardcore that, you got to let kids be kids on one half. But when it's game time, business time, is business time,
it's time,
right?
To go.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, playoffs and what that looks like. And, you know, there's just a lot of talk about the format. You guys are going to be in Division II. Last year you were in the championship game for Division III. Do you talk about it with the kids, right? Do you talk about it with your coaching staff, or, you know, how do you approach that?
So when we started the year, we talked about the approach to the year, and I said, you know, if we're going to be a Division II team, I want to be the number one seed. So however we have to get that done this year, let's get it done. We knew we were going to be thrown into the fire, however it was. We would have loved to have played in the Easter Classic this year, but the thought of being in that, possibly beating a D1 school and then possibly getting thrown into the D1 playoffs was in the back of our mind. And it was part of the reason we didn't jump into it. But lo and behold, you don't go into a season thinking you're going to finish 28. No, you look at the schedule, you see, you know, we're going to face a Murph Gray. He can have a fantastic time on the mound. We're going to see Sanger. They've got guys. These are games that you look at, you know, these are games, how are we going to match up? Because it is all about matchups. And I heard you talking about that with Coach Smith. And it's all about matchups, but, you know, I'm excited about it. I know the kids are. They're ready for the challenge. Obviously, some of the kids wanted a chance to come back and win that D3 championship and kind of solidify what we did last year. But it might be even better if we can come back and try to win a D2.
Yeah.
So I think it would be even more special. And I think these kids can do it. They believe.
And I don't want to tip off your
we can talk about it.
Yeah, but what can you say? So you got – it's Tuesday, Thursday. Yes. Just confirmed, right? So games are on Tuesday and Thursday. What does pitch count look like? And just help the listeners just understand pitch count, first of all, and what that might look like in Division II and beyond.
So, you know, it's one of those things we were talking about before. You know, if we decide to go with Devin, I mean, obviously we feel comfortable with whoever he pairs against. If we decide to go with Jaden Gonzalez, he's a senior. You know, funny thing about him, in the last 2 years, he's 17-0. You know, he's got a combined one ERA, 1-2 ERA. He's a guy that comes out. He started in the Valley Championship game or Section Championship game last year and threw a fantastic 5 1/3 innings against a really good Ridgeview team. Yep. Last year, they didn't lose to anybody other than D1 teams. I mean, they were loaded. I know their schedule and that it was tough and their record didn't show it, but we knew they were going to be tough to handle. And so if we decide to go with him and he kind of maybe doesn't look the best, I mean – we got to stay under 50 pitches because then he's got the opportunity to pitch again on Thursday. But it's 50 pitches and more. They're done for that the rest of the week.
The rest of the week, okay.
So it's one of those things that, whoever we throw out, I mean, we've got another guy, Adam Delgado, out of the pen. I mean, he's fantastic, and he's got a great ERA, and he's, over the last 2 years, I think he's only given up 6-7 earned runs. So we've got three guys that we're comfortable with if we have to throw out there, and we've got all the confidence.
Yeah, and then, well, there's, you know, the divisions are, you know, 16 teams, right? Yeah. You got to have arms. You got to have pitching. You got, you know, you could have guys that might be thrown in the fire. You could have a situation where you might be bringing in a kid that didn't have a lot of high leverage innings, let's say, so to speak. But playoffs are a different animal, right?
Yes, they are.
Playoffs are a different animal. When did you graduate from?
06.
You're 06 guy.
Yeah.
You played at Fresno Pacific.
I did. With Coach Hirschhorn.
What's the – there's a Fresno Pacific pipeline of coaches.
Oh, my gosh.
Off the top of your head – I know I didn't prep you for this question.
No, it's okay.
Off the top of your head, who are some guys that went to Fresno Pacific that are now, like, head coaches?
Matt Fox over there. I'm pretty sure he went to Fresno Pacific. He's coached there.
Yeah.
And he went there. Matt Fox. You've got a CVC coach. Gosh, dang.
Marshall.
Sean Marshall played there. There's many assistant coaches
Sandoval,
that have been coaching.
Sandoval.
Yes. And you've got, you were talking about Clovis East. I think he's still there. Sean Cunningham.
Okay.
I think he's been working with their pitchers for a long time. I caught him there. You know, you've got Greg Kilgore that works with the pitchers up at Yosemite. You've got Zach Peckinpah that works with the JV team up at Yosemite. I can keep going on and on and on about Carlin Andrews, who was at Redwood for a long time as an assistant coach. He's now at Fresno Pacific there. It really is a long pipe. Mulligan.
Yeah.
Mully.
Sean.
I played with him there too. And so they're honestly the coaching pipeline through that. And they're all Valley guys, you know, and what makes it special, you know, it's one of those places where when we played there, it was almost like we had an all-star team from the Valley, and it was really fun. And you know, there's a lot of connection with Hirschhorn's and Kerman and everything.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, that's right.
It is.
There's
so.
The Carruthers Kerman connection, Hirschhorn. Yeah. And I know, the Hirschhorn, I know how well respected he is. He's the one and only coach of Fresno Pacific.
I know.
Isn't that awesome?
It is pretty awesome. He's done a fantastic job. You know, there's been other assistant coaches. Tomas Camargo worked with us. Jonathan Molina, you've got, who else? Michael Rodriguez worked with us a little bit, and he won a couple national championships there. So it can continue on and on and on.
Valley is baseball strong for
yes,
sure.
Yes, it is.
Did you play football too?
I did.
Yeah?
I did, yes. And it's one of those schools where we do have a lot of guys that play multiple sports, and it's fun to see that. So it's kind of like we start. Like my son, he's doing basketball right now. He's doing football. We get him into swim. He does baseball. So we try to get them doing everything because out there, you know, you're going to need them. So
talking with Kerman High baseball coach, Jared Coleman, and yeah, you're right. And that's one of the things I love about medium size and small size schools is you can share athletes. I know it happens in mm-hmm. the bigger schools as well, but you know, when it's football season, then you just transition to basketball season and then you transition to baseball season. I know when I played basketball and baseball. It was like our last we went pretty far in state. It was like we lost in the state, heartbreaker, out for baseball on Monday.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. It was a lot of fun. But baseball in Kerman has really, you know, put a stamp on the Valley, you mm-hmm. know, especially the last few years. You know, Coach Jay Pruce did a phenomenal job mm-hmm. as well before you. But what is special about Kerman baseball? I know you talked a little bit about you know, the programs that you know, to develop and bring up the kids at high school, you're well connected with that.
Yeah.
But what's it look like in Kerman?
You know, it's one of those things. It's Kerman's pastime, and it's the heart and soul of the town. And I know a lot of people, like, we have had some good football teams, and it's one of those things. Football is the big one, you know. But baseball has always been the one that has just been consistent through the years. And the youth program that we have, the youth people that have been in the programs, we've honored them in years past that are no longer with us that started the programs. But baseball in our town is just something that everybody comes out to, you know. And we've had guys, there was one, we were just talking to somebody the other day, Harold Hamilton. He was over 50 years in the community mm-hmm. down there on the field. And he's one of those guys, you know, he'd be like, I don't have a glove. And he's like, well, how am I going to throw it to you? I'll catch it barehanded. And he would. You know, you throw it, and he's like, you ain't going to hurt my hand. You know, it's just old school guys like that that just loved the game. My grandpa was one of them. You know, my son fortunately gets to play down in the field that's named after him. And it's one of those things in the town, and I never got to meet him, but a lot of people talked about how great of a guy he was, and this is who it is. We've got, you know, plenty of guys that have coached many years. Coach Potter on our staff,
yeah.
He's coached these kids a long time. We've got Alejo out there that's done a good job with a lot of the travel teams. And there's just a lot of guys in the community that put in extra effort that just goes unnoticed. Sagrabella's, you can go on about any name, you know. There's so many different names of people that have been down there. Myers is down there, and he's put years of service into youth sports. Chambers is down there. I mean, you can keep going on and on and on about guys in the community, but baseball's one that it's just who we are.
Yeah,
you know.
You mentioned travel baseball and you know youth baseball. How many junior highs are in Kerman?
Just one.
Just the one, right?
Just the one.
So you know what you got coming up, right?
We went and they both actually were just in their championship game, seventh grade won, and they finished undefeated. Eighth grade lost in the championship game to the feeder school from Adair High. So,
you know, this is probably a topic that we could talk a lot on, but what are your feelings, the differences between travel baseball and school baseball, right? I know this is a hot topic. I got opinions on that. I feel like travel baseball, unfortunately, is superseded, you know, especially in the lower, you know, the junior highs and Little League and different things like that. And, right, like, yeah, what, I mean,
we,
what?
We've talked, and there's certain things that, like, it's like, you know, how many times do they get to practice together? What do they practice on? You know, there's little details about the game, you know, base running, you know, all of those feels, some things that you can't be taught. And sometimes you just look at it and you're like, gosh dang, that guy's playing for, he plays that much travel ball, and
yeah.
Why didn't he know how to do that?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on there? But when they get older, like, you know, Devin Daniel, and they go off and play for these schools like NorCal or these programs, I mean, they're fantastic. And, you know, they come back there. They're great people. And high school is a little bit different level when they get older. But when they're a little bit younger, you're like, man, what are they working on down there? Like, what is it about? You know, and I hear stories from parents and stuff and be like, oh, this parent decided to coach and now this person isn't playing. And it's a political game.
Correct.
And it can be that way in high school as well, unfortunately. But, you know, if you're playing that game. But a lot of the coaches in the Valley just aren't doing that. So they come in, either you're going to perform for us or I don't care what you did out there.
Exactly.
You got to be good for us.
Exactly, right. So. It's Kerman baseball. You put on that hat. You put on the uniform. You better play it the right way. All right. Last question. We got about another minute. Do you throw and hit with your team? Like, do you get in the cage? Do you show these guys what's up every once in a while?
Come on. I haven't hit too much this year. I only think I did it once because most of the time I throw batting practice every day.
All right.
And they're like, oh, come and step in. I'm like, I am exhausted. I just threw 400 pitches for you guys, you know. Like, you want me to come in here? And there's one time, and I know Coach Potter will step in there. His boy will step in, and he just got out from college. And we'll do, like, a live 21 outs and situational stuff. And he'll be like, dang, I just meant to hit a ground ball. And it's, you know, halfway up the trees in left field. And the kids are like, oh, yeah, just meant to hit a ground ball, you know. And it's some of the things the kids don't realize. It's like, he wasn't trying to hit a home run. You don't try to hit home runs. When you do, the bad things happen. And I think they start to learn those things. But, you know, I'll get on the mound. The other day we were working on squeezes, and I got all the way up on the mound, and Coach Potter was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, hey, if we're going to work on it, we might as well be live.
Yeah.
And the kids were in there, and we had a good time with it. but, yeah, of course, there's been many times where I'll get on a mound. I remember we were out a long time ago when I was out coaching with Alex in Fireball. And we were going to play a Dos Palos team, and they had a pitcher. He was a big kid, 6'8". I mean, he was throwing heat, and he struck us out 14 times the first time we played him. I said, that is not going to happen again. So I got on the mound and threw for an hour as hard as I could to everybody, and I don't think I could pick up a ball for 2 weeks. And then, of course, the game got rained out, so we didn't even play him that week. But it was a lot of fun, and I will do it. We will, as coaches out there, we will do everything we can to put our kids in positions to be successful. And that's just what we do, and we're going to give it all for them. And
yeah, whether you're throwing 400 pitches in batting practice or throwing your arm out, you know, in bunt situations. Yeah, Coach Derek Coleman, really appreciate you coming on. You know, this you've had a fantastic year. You know, you're just a great story, and you know, hopefully you'll cap it off with the Central Section Championship. But if not, you know, it's about the journey and the stories that you've told about these guys and the futures that you're helping develop. I mean, it just goes a long way as well.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate being on here.
All right. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking a little bit of volleyball. We got the Clovis West volleyball boys coming in. Coach Greg White as well. Just had a great conversation with Jared Coleman, Kerman Baseball. You could go back and listen to all our shows if you happen to miss it on the 1430 ESPN Fresno website. Just go to Podcasts and Central Valley Sports Report, and you can listen to everything. You can listen to, go back and listen to Jared Coleman from Kerman and all the other great coaches that we've had and great players on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. The place to be is what I call it. Just had a great conversation with Kerman baseball coach Jared Coleman. They got a good thing going on. They're 28-0. Most likely going to be the number one seed in Division II. And, yeah, I love one school towns, and Kerman is one of those that just has a great community, a great spirit. You know, yeah, you root for schools like that, and yeah, they're probably going to be playing some really big schools in the playoffs. And yeah, they are. I don't know if you say that they're the little team that could, but I mean they got a well rounded team. They're built for the playoffs as well. So yeah, definitely going to be rooting for them. We haven't talked much about volleyball this year. We had a Coach Rhonda Brown on the show. I've known Rhonda for years. She's the girls' coach at Clovis West, and they had a phenomenal year. They won the Central Section Championships. They brought some girls, and when I texted Rhonda, I'm like, "Hey, I want to bring a girl on to be our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week." She brought four. She brought four girls, so we had to do that. And I texted Coach Greg White here. The same thing is like, "Wow, how many can I bring? I can't just pick one. So I'm going to bring four." So we got a plethora of Clovis West boys volleyball players. But, Coach, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. On short notice, too.
Yeah, well, thank you for having.
You guys had a great year. 40-2, right?
Yes.
And you guys played in a few tournaments as well. What tournaments did you play in, during Easter? Was it Easter break and different?
Easter break, yeah. We were up at the NorCal Invitational in Rohnert Park. So up north, Sonoma County. First time we'd been there, fantastic facility for that tournament. It was a great tournament for us. We played a very tough Bishop O'Dowd team out of Oakland in the final. It's one of those great matches of styles. We wanted to see how our style matched up against a power volleyball team in Bishop O'Dowd, and we actually matched up really well against them with our style of play. We're very balanced. We're very dynamic, and yeah, it was a great outcome for us. We ended up winning that tournament. It was a kind of a good cap on our tournament season. Gave us a lot of momentum coming back and finishing up league, which is always tough.
Yeah, the track is always loaded. And when I saw that you guys had a really good squad this year, you know, you think about Clovis High, you think about Clovis North, those great teams that they've had, and Clovis East has had a great run. Those guys never give up as well. And I saw, hey, Clovis West got a pretty good volleyball team this year. And then, I kept looking at your record. Oh, they won again. Oh, they won again. Oh, they won track. Cool. But I wanted you to say who you brought here today. Why don't you give a shout-out to your guys here?
Absolutely. Well, we have our seniors, our fantastic senior class. Right next to me is Hayden Gonzalez. He's our senior opposite. Next to him is Ralph Goolseth, our senior outside hitter. Next to him is Matthew Hamm, our senior center. And then we have Ashton Wooldridge, our senior libero.
All right, we're going to have to do a little rotating system with our headsets here and have the different guys speak. But, Coach, I'm going to talk to you about the Central Section Championship game, the D1 title game against Buchanan. You guys won in five. What were you expecting in that match? Obviously, you know Buchanan well. You faced them how many times during the season? Three?
Yeah, we played them three times. Twice in league and then once in the Central Section Championship.
And so you guys are obviously very familiar with each other. But just talk about, first of all, the atmosphere there in the East Gym at Clovis West and the student section and just the environment in that game.
It was such a great environment for our guys. First off, the gym was packed. At one point in time, when I looked over, it was standing room. Bleachers were packed with people. The energy was great on both sides. The entire volleyball community came out to enjoy a fantastic match. And we knew going into that it was going to be tough. We had gone five with Buchanan all year. And they were a game team. We had said, you know, going into this, Buchanan has a lot of championship experience. Yeah. The moment will not be too big for them. and they're going to fight because they fought us all along. So it was everything we expected going in for a Central Section Championship in boys volleyball. It was back and forth, a lot of momentum swings, a lot of great plays, a lot of moments where we had to dig in, we had to focus, we had to take it back because momentum did not shift our way until we kind of caught fire coming out of that third set. And that's where we got the momentum at that point in time. And we harp a lot on fitness, 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 fitness. So for our guys, being in the deep water is not a big deal. Going to fifth set, we're going to be fresh and we're going to play our game and try to impose our will. And Buchanan was fantastic that night. It was an amazing section final.
So game five was 15-11. Am I right on that?
15-11, yeah.
15-11. Was it like 10-9 at one point, or when did you guys pull away?
So it was really point for point until 9-9.
9-9, okay.
And then we started to pull away. I think we got to 11-9, and we got a really fantastic block. I think it was Andrew Falcon, our sophomore middle blocker, got a huge block, put us at 12-9, and we were at that point, we felt really good. I don't know about you guys, I felt really good at that point. But when we got to 12-9, I saw the momentum, and I looked on the court and saw the focus that the guys had. And we'd been passing consistently. I was real confident we were able to go to the finish line at that point.
Who served the last point?
I think it was me, but yep. They served us on game point, so we got to serve a seed for game point.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, so celebrations are fun, man, when you win the Central Section Championship. When you guys finally won, anybody can speak up. I know we got a lot of guys there. But when you guys – what was the celebration like? Like with the final point, you guys black out a little bit? Were you just jumping on each other? What did that look like?
Yeah, we were jumping all over the place. It was electric in there at the time. So it was just the crowd was going crazy and we were just all celebrating.
Yeah, I would say the whole team just stormed the court. Everyone was running around, jumping, hugging each other. It was a great time.
And the student section?
Oh, they were going crazy.
That's one of the great things about volleyball championships when they're played at a home site. And we saw that in basketball, right? You guys go to the basketball game with Clovis West Boys 1. Yeah, just being able to celebrate that on the court. You're running into classmates and you're like, it was like a mosh pit, right? You're just kind of bouncing off of guys like that. It's a lot of fun. What point in the season did you guys know? Obviously, you had a great year. You only lost two matches. But was there a point in the season where like, hey, you know, guys, we got to really focus. Let's take this. Take this a little more serious. Or was there a point, coach, where you like had to reel these guys back in, or what did that look like?
I'll be honest with you. I've been confident in these guys this whole way, especially the senior class. We knew our core was there, and we've got some great compliments with our middles, who are both sophomores. We also have a junior outside hitter, Max Bauer. That's a great compliment to that. We have a couple guys that have stepped into some role positions, like Cole Myrick, a sophomore, Noah Lyle, a sophomore. And then behind that, we've got some big sophomores on our team and some juniors that contribute as well. So I felt great about the squad the day we made that roster. And from there, it was just, you know, continuing to build on the foundation we had set, putting in the right pieces, and giving these guys the confidence to believe that they can do this. But this has been a long time coming. It really has. Behind the scenes, these guys are putting in a ton of work. And that's what nobody gets to see, the hard work that they're putting in behind the scenes and what we get to see as coaches every single day in the gym. And so we were confident, at least from talking with my staff, we were confident these guys can pull it off. Now, there were times, we had to get refocused throughout the season. There were some things we had to address that we wanted to do better. But the confidence has been there since day one.
Talking with Clovis West boys volleyball team and Coach Greg White. I wanted you to, I know you announced who you brought, but I want you to just say what they brought to the program, what maybe some of the stats. I know you got some stats off the top of your head, but, you know, just speak some life into some of these young men and what they brought to the team.
Sure. Well, starting with Hayden Gonzalez to my left, when we're talking about opposites, he's as dynamic as they get, and he has experience as an outside hitter, so he can pass. He can swing, he can block, he can do it all on the right side. And so Hayden really brings that element to our game to where we have another option anywhere on the court. He can have the front row and the back row, and he just brings the energy as well. He's a guy that plays with tremendous confidence. If you've seen him on the court, he'll let you know how confident he is. And that's a great thing. We want that on our team. We want our guys to be confident. And then we have Roth Golseth, who is our outside hitter, who has been solid all year in the passing game, has been solid all year on the pin. It's another guy we can go to in different situations, blocks well. And let me go back to both of these guys, IQ for the game. They have a mind for the game. We're trying to run some really advanced stuff, and they're able to pull it off, and they're able to stay focused on the game plan. And we have Matthew Hammer, senior setter. We don't do what we do without Matthew.
Yeah.
It's just
– basically, what's the best way to describe a setter to people out there? You compare him to a quarterback, a point guard, all those
things? Yes, absolutely. Quarterback, point guard. That would be a great analogy for a setter in volleyball. And if you've got a quarterback, if you've got a point guard that can take over the game and run the show, it makes everybody better and it makes the team that much more dynamic. That's what we have in Matthew Hamm. He makes us dynamic. We do things that other teams can't do because our setter is, I'll be honest, just he's that much better. He's great. And we facilitate a lot of our offense and through him. I mean, he's our setter. So everything goes through him. The play calls goes through him. And he's able to make us that much more dynamic. And so that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then we have Ashton Wooldridge, our libero. And so the libero is kind of like what they call it, the dirty work guy of basketball. That's our libero. Ashton's our defensive specialist. He's our libero, and he's our digs leader on our team as well. And Ashton brings a mature, calm approach to the game. He is unshakable. Even in moments where he's being challenged, you look at him, calm, unshakable. And he is. He really is. The guys are making gestures because they know he's just And so we need that element. You need the rock on your team. You need a guy that's always going to be stable and calm in those moments. And you need a guy on the defensive side of it that's going to take control. That's going to say, hey, this is my half of the court. I'm going to take it. Or in serve receive, he might push a guy out of serve receive and take more court. But that's what Ash brings to our team. So very, very important. These four guys are very important. I have to mention our two middles as well. We have two sophomore middles, Andrew Falcon, Nick Dvorak. They're absolutely phenomenal, especially for sophomores. And they free up a lot of the one-on-one situations that our pin hitters get because they're pretty dominant in the middle. They had a fantastic season. I know they're really tough to game plan against because you have to be aware that we're going to run the middle.
Yeah.
And not a lot of teams can say that, but we can say that we have a balanced offense and we run offense out of the middle as well.
I'd love to get into a little more intricacies of volleyball and what that looks like. I'm fascinated about that. But, boys, I want to ask you, did you guys all go to Kasner together?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
When did you guys, like, first, like, play together as a team? Like, clubs, like, in 6th, 7th, 8th grade? What does that look like?
Well, me, Matthew, and Roth played together 5th grade year. That was our first time playing together. And then we've been playing ever since together.
What school in 5th grade?
Fort Washington Elementary.
Yeah. And then Ashton started playing with us in 8th grade, I think it was, at Kasner. And then, yeah, from then on, we've just played a club and all the way up till now.
So you guys are playing club in 5th grade already?
No.
Or is that just school?
When did we start? That was
probably about
8th
grade.
Yeah.
8th grade. Okay. What does volleyball look like at the Fort Washington level? You guys playing on outside? You guys playing on outside courts? What? How high is the net? 6 feet? I don't know.
Short. We're playing on grass, dirty grass, yeah. But it got us going.
What is the funnest moment that you guys have had this season, right? When we talk about high school, and I talk about this a lot on my show, you know, high school sports are special for a lot of reasons, but it's the memories, it's the bus rides, it's the locker room, it's, you know, stupid stuff during practice that happens, it's getting together after practice right there. What were some fun moments that you guys have had this year that you guys can share?
So I would say the most fun that we've had is definitely at the Granite Bay tournament. I'm definitely the kind of guy, I would say, that brings the energy, like, from outside of the court. I love making fun of these guys. I'm one of the shorter guys on the team, and these guys think that they can tower over me. And I want to show them, like, who's really the man of this team. Like, I just want to show them, like, I make fun of them when we're at dinner, and it's just a great time with these guys.
Well, how many kills do you have on the year? These guys got the kill stats, though, right?
But who has most exactly. digs, though?
Oh, there we go. Okay, see, I know. That's the difference, right? Yeah.
Digs leader over there. Yeah.
You can't compare volleyball stats, right? It's a different
animal. Tough to compare those.
All right. Who has had the biggest monster hit this year? Ooh. Is that what you guys call it, a monster hit? I don't know. I'm just making stuff
that's
up.
That's fine.
Yeah, is that fine? Okay, that works. All right.
Honestly, I would say one of our middles, probably Devo. He's hit quite a few just straight down, bounced it ridiculously high in front of everyone, yeah. Showed him who's dominant in that middle. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How about during practice? Has there been a fun moment during practice? As Coach showed you guys a few things during practice or anything like that, you guys have any fun moments during practice?
Coach laces them up every once in a while. He'll come out and play, so we have to put the beat down on him.
If they call it playing, I don't know. I'm just on the court sometimes.
That's awesome. When was the last Clovis West boys volleyball championship?
2010, I believe. I know they got there in 2014, but 2010 was the last championship.
When let's go back to the guys a little bit. Like when you got one of those great rallies, right, where you got a block and then maybe you got a, you know, we call it a pancake. Is that what you call it? Yeah. Pancake save. Yeah. Yeah, you get it up like that. What is the most satisfying type of play out there for you guys? Like, is it a big block or a big hit or an incredible save or a big rally that you guys win?
I would say it's definitely just a straight down block. I feel like that's what just gives us the most momentum, is just, especially in a long rally, when one of us just gets an absolutely straight down block, the whole crowd goes crazy. I say that's the most biggest moment for us.
You guys agree with that?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Who can any of you dunk a basketball?
Huh? On a good day.
On a good day? Volleyball is no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Basketball?
I can do a little rim grazer.
Yeah? Get guided in a little bit. Do you guys talk trash a lot in volleyball? You know, you think about football and basketball as kind of a trash-talking game at times. What's that look like in volleyball?
Well, the district doesn't really approve of it, but it comes down sometimes in a tight game. Sometimes they start talking a little bit, but it's always fun at the end of the day.
There's the big guys in the front row, right?
Yeah, always the front row. Just do the net a little bit, a little chatter.
Okay, a little chatter. So the two matches that you guys lost, was it to Sanger and who was the other one?
Clovis East.
Clovis East. Like, what was the mood for you guys after that game? Were you guys like, hey, you know, flush this, put it behind us? Did you guys learn from it? Was Coach really mad? Was there a big motivational speech? Or were you just like, all right, you know, the volleyball season is a long season. What was that like after those?
After the, I would say the Sanger game, that really, if anything, for us, it showed us what we need to fix and what people can do to us that really could beat us. And from then on, we went on kind of a little bit of a winning streak for a while. And I think, if anything, that Sanger game really helped us get better. So, yeah. And then
Clovis East, it was a bad night, in my opinion, for us. We weren't on our game. Our energy was low. And they came out really hot, to be honest. So I think they had the jump on us from the start.
Yeah. Are SoCal playoffs still in play, right? You guys find out brackets today?
Yeah, we'll probably find out tomorrow afternoon. Tonight is the Southern final.
Okay.
So we'll find out tomorrow afternoon where we stand.
And will it be an 8-team SoCal bracket? Because there's no true state champion, right? We still have the NorCal bracket and SoCal, and they don't play each other?
That's correct. So we're thinking it's an 8-team if they follow suit with last year. But we still have to wait and see. We have to wait and see. So I don't want to be presumptuous, but we're just kind of waiting for those results, and we'll see what happens.
And do you guys like your chances in SoCal? I know there's I don't know. I just think of like Huntington as the type of area where they got some dudes, right? You got Olympians coming out of SoCal. Like, how do you guys think you match up with some of those teams? Are there some really good teams down there?
Well, there's going to be great teams in the state bracket. There's no doubt about that. But I think our style is just so unique. So those teams have to match our speed. And so that's going to be the challenge for them. And I think I like our chances. I'm very confident. I know the guys are confident as well. For us, we haven't really reflected on the season yet, because no. We're still in season in our minds. And we're going to get in that state bracket and compete to the best of our ability. But we like how we match up.
All right. I want to hit on that a little bit. We only have a couple minutes. This time has just flown by. But you talk about your style. And did you have this style going into the season? Let me put it this way. Did you tailor your style of coaching to what you had this year, or did they adapt to you? You talk about how you guys play fast. What did that look like?
Well, I always think it's best to try to coach to your strengths. And so the style that these guys bring, the athleticism that they bring to it, kind of allows myself and the staff to tailor our coaching methods to the way they play.
Okay. Again, you guys had a phenomenal season. You guys get those hats right away, right? Coach is wearing the hats.
Yeah.
Who's designing? You guys going to get rings too? What's the word? You guys working on it?
That's a conversation that's going to take place. We're going to work on that one. Yeah.
All right. So thanks, guys. Really appreciate you coming on. Hayden, Rob, Ashton, and Matthew, thank you guys. It's been a lot of fun. Why don't you guys push for that ring, man? Have like a fundraiser or something. You guys can design that ring.
We're going to make it happen.
All right, sounds good. We appreciate you. Coach Greg White coming on. Clovis West boys volleyball. Congrats on the season. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you bet. All right, these are our 1430 ESPN Student Athletes of the Week. Yeah, that's a wrap. Coming up after the break, we'll be wrapping up the show and talking a little bit more about what's coming up this week on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more.
What a great show we had here, 1430 ESPN, Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, and Every Saturday show, these are the stories that I love to tell, and I just, you know, we just had Coach Greg White for the Clovis West volleyball team, and you know, as he was leaving, he's like, really appreciate you having us on. You know, boys volleyball doesn't get a lot of love out there in the media, and people don't know about it. So you know, I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to bring you these stories, you know, track and field as well, and soccer, and you know, there, you know, we focus on the big three, football, basketball, and baseball, but you know, to hear from these volleyball kids is a lot of fun, and I hope you guys enjoy it too, and I really enjoy these 2 hours I get to share with you guys and speak about the great things that are going on in the central section. I want to first of all thank First String Sports. They've been an incredible sponsor. Come on down here, Blackstone and Herndon Avenues, and check it out. You know, check out the Letterman's jackets. And Letterman's jackets are going to be selling big during the summer. And if you haven't got yours yet for your student athlete, come on down here. The guys will definitely steer you in the right way and have you try on the jackets and look at all the different color schemes that you can get. So come on down here, First String Sports. They are awesome down here. Thanks to Clovis softball coach Mike Noel. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo back at home base for jumping in and talking high school sports. Again, Gabe and I are going to be breaking down the baseball and softball brackets when they come out. We're thinking around 3 o'clock, hopefully no later than 4. We're going to be doing it on Twitter. So follow me at Paul Metters on Twitter. Follow Gabe at Gabe Camarillo. And we're going to be talking about the brackets and breaking those down. Also, thank you to Ryan Smith, Clovis East baseball coach. They are dangerous. They're most likely going to be in the top 8 in Division 2, most likely a 6 or 7 seed, but that's a dangerous team. They're battle tested. They ended up 7-8 in league play. So yeah, thanks to Ryan Smith of Clovis East for coming on. Jared Coleman, Kerman Baseball, historic season, 28-0 right now. Hopefully they can keep going. Most likely going to be the number 1 seed in Division 2. Thanks to Jared Coleman and the Clovis West volleyball team that just came on. Thanks Greg White and the boys for coming on. Next week I got a fun interview. I want to tease this a little bit. I got an author coming on. He wrote a book called The Wax Pack. What this guy did is that he bought a pack of 1986 baseball cards, and whatever players he got in that pack, he wanted to track them down and interview them and talk about their life. So we got the author coming on from The Wax Pack next week. I'm very excited about that. Also, programming note, the Jose Gonzalez Show is now going to be on a new time every day at 7 a.m. So be sure to tune in to Jose Gonzalez Show in the morning now, not in the afternoon. And here at 1430, we are pleased to be the flagship leader in all high school sports. We're going to be broadcasting baseball games next week and in the foreseeable future. So be sure to stay tuned on that. And in closing, be kind, be generous, be passionate in everything you do, and leave it all on the field. Talk to you soon.
Your home for high school sports. 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. KFIG Fresno.